Felix Baumgartner, faster than the speed of sound. Vans moves from kit plane to production aircraft and rewriting airport design. This is Aero News from Monday, October the 15th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. He's not Superman, but he is faster than the speed of sound. After flying to an altitude of 128,097 feet in a helium-filled balloon, Felix Baumgartner completed a record-breaking jump for the ages from the edge of space Sunday morning, exactly 65 years after Chuck Yeager first broke the sound barrier, flying in an experimental rocket-powered airplane. The 43-year-old Austrian skydiving expert also broke two other world records for the highest freefall and highest manned balloon flight, leaving the one for the longest freefall to his project mentor, Colonel Joe Kittinger. Baumgartner landed safely with his parachute in the New Mexico desert after jumping out of his space capsule and plunging back towards Earth, hitting a maximum speed of 706 miles per hour through the near vacuum of the stratosphere before being slowed by the atmosphere later during his 4-minute 19-second freefall. Baumgartner's jump lasted a total of 9 minutes and 3 seconds. Countless millions of people around the world watched his ascent and jump live on television broadcast and streaming live on the Internet. At one point during his freefall, Baumgartner appeared to spin rapidly, but he quickly regained control and moments later opened his parachute as members of the ground crew cheered and viewers around the world heaved a sigh of relief. Baumgartner and his team spent 5 years training and preparing for the mission that is designed to improve our scientific understanding of how the body copes with the extreme conditions at the edge of space. The data on the records set by the jump are preliminary, pending confirmation by the authorized governing bodies. Vans Aircraft announced at the AOPA summit in Palm Springs, California, that it is planning to offer a factory-built version of its RV-12 LSA beginning next year. The aircraft will be built by Synergy Air of Eugene, Oregon, which currently offers a builder's assistance program for kit builders. The initial factory run will consist of 12 SLSA airplanes with all the bells and whistles offered as a signature edition model. One of these first airplanes will set the buyer back about $115,000, but the company expects to offer a base model in the future starting at about $105,000. Van has a fleet of some 7,900 kit-built airplanes flying, so offering a ready-to-fly aircraft is quite a departure for the company. Nearly 200 RV-12 kits have been completed and flown as EAB, or experimental LSA airplanes, and sales manager Gus Fennell said that experience provided the base of knowledge the company needs to make incremental improvement in the airplane for the SLSA. Offering the airplane as an SLSA will allow flight schools to use the factory-built RV-12 for flight instruction, which is prohibited with kit-built airplanes. That will give those who want to build the airplane from a kit an opportunity to get transition training in a similar aircraft. The FAA's Office of Airports recently updated the Airport Design Advisory Circular, AC 150/5300-13A, the first major rewrite of the AC in more than 20 years. This AC is critical to the aviation industry because it outlines the standards and recommendations used for the development of airport layout plans and airport construction projects. The AC, used by airport operators, airport planners, and engineers, gives the geometric layout and engineering design requirements for runways, taxiways, aprons, and other airport facilities. The AC is the result of collaboration between the FAA and the aviation industry. The FAA held webinars, workshops, and spoke at conferences to make sure airport consultants, airport sponsors, aviation associations, and aircraft manufacturers had input into the revised AC. According to the FAA, the AC was substantially revised to fully incorporate all previous changes to AC 150/5300-13, as well as new standards and technical requirements. This document was reformatted to simplify and clarify the FAA's airport design standards and to improve readability. Users should review the entire document to familiarize themselves with the new format. The UAV that penetrated Israel's airspace this week and was eventually shot down by the Israeli Air Force was launched by Hezbollah, that group's leader said Thursday. Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah said that it would not be the last time Israel's airspace was tested. The drone, which was reportedly built in Iran, was launched from Lebanon, Nasrallah said, In a televised address late Thursday, he added, quote, "This statement today is claim of responsibility by the Islamic resistance for this qualitative operation of dispatching the drone," end quote. The Associated Press reports that Nasrallah went on to say in that statement that, quote, "We are uncovering a small part of our capabilities, and we shall keep many more hidden. It is our natural right to send other reconnaissance flights inside occupied Palestine," end quote. The statement confirms suspicions that Hezbollah was behind the incident. The group is closely associated with Iran and has a track record of attempts to deploy UAVs in the area. When AeroNews continues, 25 years for shooting at a police helo. Who knew astronauts get motion sickness? And history on the auction block.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
I'm Glenn Moyer, and we continue now with Aero News for Monday, October the 15th. A 20-year-old who admitted shooting into an LAPD helicopter in 2011 has been sentenced to 25 years in prison. The Los Angeles County, California District Attorney's Office says that Danny Anthony Lopez, who was 18 at the time of the incident, was sentenced by Superior Court Judge Martin Herskovitz after he pleaded no contest in August to two counts of assault on a peace officer with a semi-automatic firearm. Deputy District Attorney Michael Blake with the Crimes Against Peace Officers Unit said Lopez admitted opening fire on the police helicopter, striking it, and forcing it to make an emergency landing at Van Nuys Airport. No one was injured inside during the April 24, 2011 incident. In exchange for his plea, two felony counts of attempted murder of a peace officer, one count of shooting at an occupied aircraft, and one count of carrying a loaded firearm in a street gang with the allegation that he personally discharged the firearm, were dismissed. An agreement to develop and commercialize a NASA-crafted fast-acting nasal spray to fight motion sickness has been signed between NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston and Epiomed Therapeutics, Inc. of Irvine, California. Under the Space Act Agreement, Epiomed will formulate the drug called intranasal scopolamine, or InScope. Astronauts often experience motion sickness in space, and as a result, NASA has conducted extensive research into the causes and treatments for the condition. Scopolamine is effective and can be administered as a tablet or injected. Under the Space Act Agreement, Epiomed will formulate the drug called intranasal scopolamine, or InScope. Astronauts often experience motion sickness in space. As a result, NASA has conducted extensive research into the causes and treatments of the condition. Scopolamine is effective and can be administered as a tablet or injected. With a precise dosage, the NASA spray formulation has been shown to work faster and more reliably than the oral form. The product still has to undergo FDA trials and approvals. A gamekeeper in Essex in the UK is seeking reimbursement equivalent to about $40,000 because low-flying helicopters are chasing away his pheasants and partridges. Richard Hearn says that the MOD owes him the restitution because the birds scatter every time the helos fly low over the countryside where he holds rights to arrange hunting outings. Hearn said the noise from the low-flying Apache, Chinook, and Merlin helicopters scatter the birds, and then he has to go and round them up, sometimes canceling scheduled shoots arranged for his patrons at Gage's Farm in Little Maplestead near Halstead, according to the UK newspaper The Daily Mail. He said the low-flying helicopters have been an issue since he acquired the hunting rights in 2010. The MOD paid Hearn some £5,000 after a previous incident, but he has since recorded 18 others. And staying in merry old England, a Hurricane fighter aircraft, like one of the many that defended British shores during the World War II Battle of Britain, will be the star attraction at the Bonhams sale of collectors' motor cars and automobilia at Mercedes-Benz World Brooklands, the spiritual home of the Hurricane, in Weybridge, Surrey, UK, on Monday, December the 3rd. The Hurricane, the Royal Air Force's first monoplane fighter, had its finest hour during that battle, where it shot down more enemy aircraft than its famous service partner, the Spitfire. Hurricane Mark 12A 5711, with the registration GHURI, equipped with 12 Browning 303 machine guns, was built in 1942 and joined the Royal Canadian Air Force the following year, remaining in Canada for the duration of the war. Its service history has proved elusive, but it may have protected convoys on the East Coast shoreline from German U-boat activity, or may have been used as a training aircraft. One of only a few Hurricanes still flying today, the aircraft will be offered for sale with an estimated value of $2.2 to $2.7 million. Memo to the boss. I'd like to inquire about a small cash advance to be used for the purchase of an aircraft. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.